Again, welcome to all of you, and thank you. Thank you for coming. I always like to lay a foundation on a holy day, so one of my favorite passages is over there in Leviticus 23. So let's turn over there and let's lay a foundation here. Leviticus 23, verses 1 and 2. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel, and say to them, the feast of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocation, these are my feasts." So notice that these are God's feasts. The word feast here is from the Hebrew word moed, and it means appointments. So by God saying these are His feasts, these are His appointments. So just like making an appointment with a doctor or something, you know, you go and you set it up and you're to be there, right? Well, God says we're to be here. So here we are. And then also the word convocations is a Hebrew word mikra, and it means assembly or rehearsal. So by keeping God's holy days here, we are rehearsing God's plan of salvation. Now let's drop down to verses 15 to 22, which pertains to Pentecost. So verse 15. Notice this is called the Feast of Weeks in the Old Testament. Pentecost is the Greek word in the Greek meaning 50th. So verse 15. "And you shall count for yourselves from the day after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be complete. Count 50 days to the day after the 7th Sabbath, then you shall offer a new grain offering." Now notice it's a new grain offering to the Lord. "You shall bring from your habitation 2 wave loaves of 2/10 of an ephah. They shall be a fine flour, and they shall be baked with leaven, and they are the first fruits of the Lord." So, one, they're with leaven. Remember when Christ, during the barley harvest, there was the barley was baked with unleavened that was presented to God in the temple. And obviously, Jesus was without sin. Well, guess what? We sin, right? So that leaven pictures us. It pictures our sins that we've committed and so on, that kind of thing. And in verses 18 here, also notice the word first fruits there. We are first fruits of the Lord. Verse 18. "And you shall offer with the bread 7 lambs of the first year without blemish, 1 bull, 2 rams. They are as burnt offerings to the Lord, with their grain offering and their drink offering, and offerings made by fire for a sweet aroma to the Lord. Then you shall sacrifice 1 kid of the goats for a sin offering, and 2 male lambs of the first year sacrificed for a peace offering." So these different offerings, obviously this all pictures Jesus Christ. You know, what happened in the temple as far as all these sacrifices, it all pointed to Christ. He was the figure, see. So anyway, He is our peace offering. He's our sin offering. Okay, verse 20. "The priest shall wave or elevate." Now, the word wave has a tendency to think like this, you know. But yet, a resurrection is lifting up, isn't it? And if they're going to lift something up to God, wouldn't you think it might be lifting it up rather than... So, anyway, the Tanakh, the Jewish Bible, uses the word elevate. So that's why I'm sort of bringing this in here. "With 2 lambs, they shall be holy to the Lord for the priest. And you shall proclaim on the same day that it is a holy convocation to you. You shall do no customary work on it. It shall be a statute forever." Notice that. "A statute forever in all your dwellings throughout your generations. When you reap the harvest of your land..." Now, I always thought this was interesting. This is sort of tucked in there, but it's very important. "When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not wholly reap the corners of your field. When you reap, nor shall you gather any gleanings from your harvest. You shall leave them for the poor and for the stranger, for I am the Lord your God." So again, this brings Ruth back into my mind. Here she was, she's poor, she was a stranger, she came into the land of Israel, and so on. And fortunately, she was under Boaz's field there, in his field, and she gleaned. But anyway, here's this law here saying that, you know, you don't reap the corners. Now here again, the poor had to go get it. Guess what? Our field welfare system, we send checks to people, see. But back then, they had to go out in the field and get it. They had to sort of work for it, didn't they? This Feast of Weeks, as it's called in the Old Testament here, had different variations in the name. It's called Feast of Harvest, the First Fruits, Feast of First Fruits, and so on. And again, verse 21 says it is a statute forever. All right, let's go to the New Testament now. And we're going to go to Acts 2 here. And we're going to read the whole chapter. So instead of having a Bible reading day, we're going to do it now. So Acts 2. And this is about Peter and his sermon. So we see what Peter had to say here on his first sermon on Pentecost here. Now, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues, or distributed tongues, as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in other tongues or languages, as the Spirit gave them utterance. Verse 5. Now there was dwelling in Jerusalem devout Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them speaking in our own language the wonderful works of God." Now, those wonderful works, what would they have been? Well, telling about Jesus, obviously, but telling about his miracles and his healings and his casting out of demons. But probably more important, they were telling about the message that he brought. Now, the message that Jesus brought was the gospel of the kingdom of God. And reference there would be Mark 1 and verse 1 and verse 14. Verse 12. So they all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "Whatever could this mean?" Others mocked, saying, "Well, they're full of new wine. They're drunk." Verse 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk, as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day." So it's like 9 o'clock in the morning here, pretty early. "But this is what was spoken by the prophet." So notice that he's going to quote from Joel here, prophet Joel. "And it came to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants I will pour out my Spirit in those days. And they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon into blood before the coming and great and notable day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Alright, so he quit quoting Joel here, and then he goes on to say, "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know." Now, I reflect back on seven things that he did on the Sabbath, was miracles on the Sabbath, and he got himself into a heap of trouble, didn't he? The Jews wanted to kill him. But anyway, these are spectacular miracles. A man with a withered hand and so on. And anyway, Jesus did these healings. So there was not a lot of notice of Jesus that was going on, especially on the Sabbath. Okay, verse 23. "Him being delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it." Okay, now he's going to talk a little bit about David. Now he's quoting from Psalm 16 here. "For David says concerning him, I foreknew the Lord always before my face. For he is at my right hand that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart rejoiced and my tongue was glad. Moreover my flesh will also rest in hope, because you will not leave my soul in Hades or the grave." So this isn't Gehenna. This is the word referring to grave. "Nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption." He's talking about Jesus Christ here. "You have made known to me the way of life. You will make me full of joy in your presence." Alright, verse 29. "Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Therefore, being a prophet," referring to David, "and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his body, according to his flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne." Now, I have the word prophet as being David. Now, I'm not sure if that's actually David talking here or not. But anyway, let's continue on. Verse 31 now. He, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of Christ, and his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption here. This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. So they were all eyewitnesses, the apostles were, of Jesus' resurrection and so on. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this, which you now see and hear. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he says himself, so quoting again from David here, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand, till I make your enemies your footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ, or the Messiah. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? So they were convicted, weren't they? They heard this message that Peter was delivering here, and they're wanting to know, well, what should we do? Now, here's one of the key scriptures in the Bible here we need to be aware of here, verse 38. Then Peter said to them, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. So a very spectacular sermon that he gave, and he quoted different sources from the Old Testament and so on in his message. Okay, again, Pentecost refers to the first fruits. And let's pick up one more scripture here on first fruits that Paul was talking about over in Colossians. You can just write this down if you want. I'll just quote it here. This is Colossians 1:18. Paul was talking, he said, Jesus is the first of the first fruits, being the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. All right, now let's go over to my final scripture here, Revelation 14. And we'll see a little bit more about first fruits relating to us, the saints, the bride of Christ. So Revelation 14 and verses 1 to 5. Then I looked, and behold, a Lamb, referring to Jesus, standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his Father's name written on their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, like a voice of many waters, and like the voice of a loud thunder, and I heard the sound of harpists playing with their harps. And they sang, as it were, a new song before the throne, before the four living creatures and the elders. And no one could learn that song except the 144,000 who were redeemed from the earth. These are the ones who were not defiled with women or with other religions, false religions and so on, for they are virgins. They are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. Notice that. I think this is fantastic. Here we are going to be the bride of Christ, and it says, these are the ones who will follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These are redeemed from among men, being first fruits to God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. So again, fascinating. We are going to be the first fruits. We're going to be the bride of Christ. So we, the saints, are the first fruits to God and to the Lamb.
Sorry, sir. I just want to introduce
this. Can you give me just a minute so I can finish up, and then I'll be done? In conclusion, Pentecost depicts Christians as the first fruits of salvation. As first fruits, we will be elevated as an offering and presented to God the Father as a bride of Christ in the first resurrection. As a first fruit, let us be a good fruit, and let us bear good fruits. Okay.